180 degrees. Good morning, Local 304, and as always, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. As I said to you on yesterday morning's podcast, with respect to lead clerks and clerks supervising mail handlers, I'm going to finish that conversation off this morning. My reference for my conversation is a national arbitration decision pertaining to the lead clerk position. This decision is from November 7th, 2014. And if you would like a copy of it, because for whatever reason your union can't or won't produce it, you can contact me and I'll give it to you. But if you're looking on mails or under national arbitration decisions, the case number would be Q06M6Q1228877. That's the case number, should you want to look it up yourself, or by all means contact me and I will send it to you via email. Let's talk about the case. Now, before we get into the case itself, I feel it necessary to kind of set the table before I bring the main meal out. Now, here's a national arbitration decision that addresses the lead clerk. Now, let me tell you the hierarchy of clerks. Now, it is my understanding, and if I'm wrong, I do apologize, APWU, but your lead clerk has the most autonomy of all your clerks. Your lead clerk has almost supervisory responsibilities. Now, let me tell you, and what I mean by that is, if you are a distribution clerk, you could have a lead clerk that guide and direct what you do. Your lead clerk is like the intercessor between management and employees. So that means, and again, if I'm wrong, please correct me, all other clerks will fall in line or in a leadership matrix below the lead clerk. That includes your expediters. That includes your mail processing clerks. That includes your office clerks. Again, a lead clerk can supervise a group of all of these categories. So when I introduce this national arbitration decision to you, here's my position. If the lead clerk can't do it, and the lead clerk has the most autonomy of all clerks, then no clerk should be allowed to do it. So I say again, My basis for what I'm about to introduce you to comes from the premise that if a decision on a national level prohibits a lead clerk from doing it, then all other clerks who fall below that lead clerk's on a leadership matrix will also be bound by this decision. Now, I got to tell you, because I like to keep it 100 with you, if that premise is wrong, then we need to rediscuss my position. But if you understand that the Postal Service says the top clerk cannot supervise, guide, or direct mail handlers, then I think it would only be understood that no clerk can do it. Can we agree or disagree? Okay, so since there is no disagreement there, I'm going to read the opening paragraph from Mr. Hagerty, our national president at the time. We are extremely pleased to announce that the National Postal Mail Handlers Union has prevailed in its national arbitration against the Postal Service over the ability of the Postal Service to allow lead clerks to supervise or in any way to assign or direct the work of members of the National Mail Handler Craft. And we're going to go into this decision. It says a complete copy of the award is attached. First, Arbitrator Doss stressed, as the Postal Service was forced to concede, that lead clerks are not authorized to perform supervisory functions, including decisions about hiring, promotion, discipline, approval of leave, the resolution of grievances, and employee evaluations. Second, Arbitrator Dodge made it clear that absent negotiations between the Postal Service and the Mail Handlers Union, the Postal Service cannot utilize lead clerks to direct or guide the work of mail handlers. Now, by way of background, during the negotiations between the APWU and the Postal Service for their 2010 National Agreement, the APWU bargained to reduce substantially the use of temporary supervisors, those 204Bs, because there remained a need for clerks to receive oversight, direction, and support. The APWU and the Post Office also negotiated the creation of the new position, and they called it a lead clerk. When the Postal Service drafted the position description for the lead clerk position, however, the Postal Service provided that the lead clerk would not only lead employees in the clerk craft, but would provide such oversight and direction to all. So again, they tried to negotiate a position, and then the Postal Service got slick and said, since the APWU wants to reduce 204Bs, we'll try to slide in as a hidden rider on their new position that the lead clerk supervises everybody. And the National Postal Mail Handlers Union rose up and smashed that effort. So you got to remember now, the APWU was trying to reduce the 204Bs, and the Post Office was trying to say, well, if you're going to reduce 204Bs, I'm going to try to make your clerk a 204B without calling them a 204B. So the creation and implementation of the lead clerk position occurred in conjunction with an agreement between the APWU and the Postal Service to eliminate temporary supervisors positions, the 204Bs, except in the absence or vacancy of a supervisor for 14 days or more. So the APWU was saying, if there is no absence or vacancy of a supervisor for more than 14 days, their members cannot go on higher level as a supervisor. When there is no supervisor available, lead clerks, per their job description, provide oversight to mail processing employees in both the clerk craft and the mail handler craft. Well, the mail handler craft is distinct from the clerk craft and is represented by the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. And they said, no, that's not going to happen. Now, I'm going to skip around in this case just a little bit, reading you excerpts from it. But again, I encourage you to get the whole case and read it. It's good lunchtime reading. For the Post Office, they testify that the job duties of the group leader and the lead mail processing clerk are the same. The Mail Handlers Union asserted that the general practices in the Postal Service is for lead-type positions to be in the same craft as the employees who are being provided direction and guidance, and that by assigning lead clerks to the Mail Handlers Union, the Postal Service was assigning them mail handler group leader duties. They also cited a labor case, a labor board case. Well, again, the National Postal Mail Handlers Union disagreed with the Postal Service assertion, that the general expediter, now we're talking about expediter, that the general expediter position, a position within the APWU, has held the responsibility to direct the work of mail handlers for years. Mail Handlers Union argued that the evidence showed that the responsibility of the lead clerk are different from those assigned to the expediter. Thus, the Postal Service argued that there is a long-standing history of allowing employees from one craft to guide members of the other craft lacks merit. So again, they're trying to show that the expediters move mail handlers around, and the mail handlers union is saying, no, that's not what happens. And then they're trying to say lead clerks should be allowed to move mail handlers around. And again, the mail handlers union is saying that's not going to happen. The Postal Mail Handlers Union contended that the creation of the lead clerk position limits the opportunity for mail handlers to be promoted to group leader. So again, final decision on this case was based on the foregoing. I find the Postal Service violated Article 5 of the National Agreement. In sum, the National Postal Mail Handlers Union has established that the Postal Service unilaterally changed the terms and conditions of employment for all mail handlers when it assigned the group leader position, which it had negotiated with the APWU to provide oversight, direction, and support to mail handlers. Work in the absence of a supervisor previously had been performed by mail handler group leaders. The Postal Service is ordered to restore the status quo and to bargain with the National Postal Mail Handlers Union over these matters. So that's an actual national arbitration decision. But again, I take away from this, and again, I open the floor any day for conversation, that it is the National Postal Mail Handlers Union position, and let me say this again, I don't speak for the National Postal Mail Handlers Union in my current status, but I'm saying, as a union, you are not going to give up authority to your members to any other union. Just like the APWU will never agree that a mail handler tells a clerk what to do, and I understand that. And the National Postal Mail Handlers Union will never agree that APWU members are in the management hierarchy when it comes to a mail handler. I understand that. But I want to say to the members in Local 304, you have to understand that when the union goes on national levels and arbitrates decisions, you have to make sure that you are aware of these decisions and you hold the line on these decisions. Do you know how frustrating it must be on a national level to arbitrate a decision only to have 10 more cases come behind an arbitration decision because the union didn't understand what was done at national, or they were not vigilant enough to ensure all the branches knew and understood we are not going to allow this violation because we just won this on a national decision. So we're not going to let them, the Postal Service, sneak by with continually doing it. And that happens because more times than not, union members and union representatives become comfortable with, I'm not going to be aggressive on this violation, but I'm going to be aggressive on this one. I beg to differ. I'm going to be aggressive on all of them. Let me say to the members of Local 304, you're not going to get this kind of talk, this kind of teaching, this kind of whatever you want to call it, from your local headquarters, because the skill set is just lacking. And I'll just leave it there. So when you see the president and his entourage come through, ask yourself a question. In the times that he comes through and his team comes through, how often are they really talking about relevant issues that take place in your office? And again, the reason they don't do it is because they're just not equipped to do it. Hopefully they'll change. But when they come to your office, again, representing themselves as an headquarter element, ask them questions and don't be surprised at how much they really don't know. Hey, this is Kenny Haas, trying to always keep you informed that there is a better way, and that better way is 180 degrees new direction. So listen, as I bring it to a close, remember, clerks are not mail handlers. Mail handlers are not clerks. They run parallel consistently to each other. Clerks should not be in mail handlers' business, and mail handlers should not be in clerk business. So remember that the next time a clerk asks you to do something, or the next time you think about asking a clerk to do something, two separate lines of authority, and let's be respectful of each other's line. Thank you.